to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I am Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 28 of our Wolf sequels.
Yes.
Right?
Werewolf sequels.
Werewolf sequels, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to be too specific.
Yeah.
We are doing American Werewolf in Paris.
Ah.
We did it so you don't have to.
That's right. Did you love American Werewolf in London? You're really going to hate this.
You're shit out of luck. You'll hate this. This, of course, is the sequel that took forever to make.
Yes.
Of the classic American Werewolf in London. Starring a couple people that we know.
Yeah.
Tom Everett Scott.
Mm-hmm.
What's her face from the Sun movies trilogy, Sunrise?
Julie Delpy.
Julie Delpy.
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 Yes.
Sure. I've heard it both ways. And Julie Bowen has a small role in this.
Yes, Julie Bowen.
From Modern Family.
Think pretty fresh off of Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, between that and Chuck.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Were you going to say something? This movie is hard to stream. We couldn't find it anywhere. We had to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. We couldn't find it streaming on anything. Everybody has rightfully passed up the rights to this movie.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Not even Amazon Prime. You can't even stream it through them.
No.
They can pay for it. Not there.
Nothing. Nowhere.
Nope. But YouTube. People have done you the favor of putting it on there. And nobody's come by and said, hey, don't put this up, because they just
like,
don't care.
Please watch it if you want.
Yeah, right?
We don't care.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
At this point. I think Tom Everett Scott's happy that just people remember him.
Yes, I think so too, yeah. So before we drop it, I guess we'll pause for this message, right?
Yep, we have a message from a great friend of one of our podcasts, or of our podcast, so... we want to make sure we get this out there.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
And we're back.
Excellent.
Excellent.
It's a brand new promo, so we want to make sure we aired it right off the bat.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Go check them out.
Yes.
Excellent.
So, all right, well, let's get started. Let's get cracking on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, technically, this is called American Werewolf in Paris Before Moonrise. No, that's not what it's called?
No,
oh.
It is not.
I was thinking because...
Just because Julie Delpy was...
Delpy was in those before Sunset, Before Sunrise movies, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so we open on a stormy Paris night.
Oh, it's stormy in Paris.
And you get to see like some of like the Gothic looking architecture and things like that. And there's water just streaming down like these walls and the roofs, and it's pouring out of these like gargoyles' mouths.
In the back, you can see the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, and the moon, the full moon, or sure. Not the full moon. It's like a almost to the full moon. In the background.
Yeah.
So, water is pouring down, and we start seeing this manhole cover just start...
Phrasing.
We start seeing this
no, I'm just
sewer
joking.
Entrance just start kind of popping open, freezing. And a guy crawls out of the hole.
Yeah, in a laptop.
In a lab coat.
We assume that he was visiting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
At this point.
He was out there for Ray's pizza.
Roy's cheese pizza.
The Paris edition.
Yes.
Roy's fromage.
Ooh la la, what's a Roy's cheese pizza?
Ooh la la, fromage pizza.
Pizza.
So the man in the lab coat emerges from the sewers, calling for a taxi. And he's running
frantically.
Yeah, frantically towards it, kind of hopping gates and stuff. He's almost to it, and some sewer grates pop open a little bit and trip him to the ground. And we hear something growling inside of those.
Right.
Now we cut to, the symphony all of a sudden,
yeah,
like
so
an
it's
opera.
Like cross-cutted between nice classical music.
Yeah, for a little dramatic diegetic music. So. Basically, it's happening in the real world, so, you know, for whatever reason, we just cut there.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, maybe we're going to see something having to do with that.
No, that's it.
Just, it's there for music.
No, it's there for kind of, you know, to make it look like this is going to be an artistic movie.
Yeah, and it is not. So the driver runs out to help the guy in the lab coat who's laying on the ground. But something grabs him and starts dragging him down into the underground. And, of course, the taxi driver at that point runs away. Probably smart. Runs away and just leaves him. Again, no point to the symphony at this juncture. And we never come back to
it. They're cross-cutting. It looks like they're saying, die, die, as he's being pulled away.
Yeah.
To me, it did, but...
I think they were saying D, which is German for the...
Okay.
They're just saying the over and over in German.
Mm-hmm. No point to it.
So we now go to
it's like
a
cold
train.
Open.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then we go from like symphony music to like the 90s, like post pop punk kind of soundtrack.
Yeah, it's that pop punky era where
oh god,
a little bit of ska, a little bit of
such a bad time where like everything just sounded the same.
Yeah, it was just kind of garbage music at that point. We get Andy McDermott, played by Tom Everett Scott, and his friends Brad, played by
I call him Tech, Tom Everett Scott.
Oh yeah, there you go, Tech.
Yeah, Tech, Tom Everett Scott. Oh, yeah. So, not all my jokes work. I'm not quite awake. So, I guess it's Tess.
Yeah. Tommy. Tesk.
Tesk, I guess.
Tom
Scott.
Scott.
Yeah. I was thinking of this part of it. You said Scott. Threw me off.
Tommy Scott.
Okay.
So, it's him and his friends.
We can make
Brad.
Fun of me for about an hour. It's fine.
Brad, played by Vince Villeneuve, or whatever the hell you pronounce it.
That's a weird... It was a weird name to
He's
pronounce.
He's a guy... he
Is
did a lot of
race?
Stuff where he was... Yeah, he was like in Rat Race where his tongue was pierced, and so he...
Wait, was he in Rat Race, or was Brad in Rat Race? The guy that
Brad is
Brad.
Rat Race. That's okay. Vince Villeneuve.
This guy does like a lot of voiceover
well,
stuff.
Well, the third guy, Chris...
Right,
does Chris. A lot of voiceover stuff. Phil Buckman.
Yes.
So, but they're on this train, traveling through Europe.
Yeah, I call them the douche. This is the Douche Bros Express.
It's just the Douche Bros Express.
They're like, "What's up, brah?"
Well, okay. So, as I started realizing too, their names, like apparently the script was so generic, they probably just generically named them at the beginning or labeled them as A, B, and C, mm-hmm. Andy, Brad, and Chris.
It was so generic. The craft service used our family value.
And they are... For, and these guys are douchebags.
Oh, they're douches.
A, B, C, douchebags.
Oh, A, B, C, D-bags. That's
yeah,
what they
go.
Are.
There you go. watch ABC... Listen to ABC D-bags. Anyway, so they're traveling through Europe. Wow. They're on a Daredevil tour. And they're basically...
And I don't mean, like, they're going to places where Daredevil, like, you know, fought bad guys.
No. They can do that on the Ghost Rider 2 tour. or the Blade 2 tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, they're basically vying to see who can get the most Daredevil points. Like some sort of Euro jackass.
Kind of.
Trying to do these stunts. Chris also keeps arguing about how many sex points he's earned.
Chris is very intent on getting those sex points.
Yeah. Really convincing people he's had sex on the trip.
Very much so.
So Andy hasn't scored any, but he's looking for love and not just a hookup. They try to get him to, like, ask a girl out, and so they'll give him sex points if she can. He can even get her number.
Oh, she's totally not my type.
I'm not sure if Chris knows what sex is, but that is also not that. And so now we get to a scene in front of the Eiffel Tower. It's evening again.
God.
And you see the tourists are kind of packing up and leaving for the day. As the last person leaves, the jackasses pop their head out from on top of the building.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, Night at the Museum, they get, like, you know, locked in there.
So they've managed at this point to somehow sneak on top of the building and wait for everybody to leave. So God knows how long they've been there. Once they lock everything up, then the three of them climb to the observation deck of the Eiffel Tower. So they are scaling. They're climbing the stairs on the Eiffel Tower, so they've basically broken in. And they're planning to do something daredevilish from there, but you don't quite know what, because we don't see what they're planning to do.
Yeah.
The only one that we do is...
It's in Andy's backpack, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, the only one we know is Tom E. Scott is... Andy is planning on doing something.
Right.
So now, while the others enjoy a beer, Andy is doing math and determines the conditions are right to bungee jump. So Brad begs Andy not to go once he sees what he's doing. Right about then, Chris runs up and says, somebody's coming. And so the guys hide, and a young woman comes to the tower, Julie Delpy.
What do they give this money? They could just go to, like, Paris and then bungee cord off the Eiffel Tower.
They brought their own stuff with them. They didn't pay to get in.
Yeah, they didn't pay to stay anywhere. It's not like they were sleeping in any youth hostel or anything.
No. They weren't sleeping
We didn't
anywhere.
See that in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were on a train, so maybe they slept on the train. So the young woman's there. She climbs to the edge of the tower crying. Andy runs out and tries to talk to her down off the ledge. But she still jumps, and Andy dives after her.
Played by Julie Depp.
Yeah, that's Depp. Julie Delpy. So he dives off after her, and he manages to grab her foot in mid-dive. His friends at the same time notice that the bungee isn't attached to anything, and they dive on it. Of course, it pulls them up against the railing, but they manage to stop his fall. He slows down enough that the woman gently lands on the ground.
Sure.
And, of course, when he does that,
physics,
her foot just...
All the physics seems right.
Oh, yeah. Her foot just gently slides out of the shoe. And he still has a hold of it when he zips back up, busting his head open on a beam. So...
Science would tell you that you're dead.
Yeah, there's so many things. So, the first thing I want to point out is that the Eiffel Tower... So, he's bungee jumping off the Eiffel Tower... Yet somehow he's gotten far enough out to clear the base of it, even. There's no freaking way. There's no way that even happened. Could have happened. He would have slammed down into the base of it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then another problem is the bungee cord. Like,
it's not tied.
When I was at camp, they always said, you got to be careful. Don't hold on to the bungee cord, because as it expands... From stretching out, it'll rip your hands open if you're holding on to it. Yet his two bonehead friends grabbed a hold of it and slid up against the rail and are still holding it whilst doing all this. I mean, the whole thing's wrong. And holding her by the shoe, and that only comes off when she's at the ground. Like, the shoe isn't part of your foot. Like, I don't...
Right.
The whole thing's just stupid. But it was that kind of like 90s, late 90s, like, wow.
Wow, look at it. Everything's extreme.
Yeah.
More than words.
Yeah. So Andy wakes up to his friends waking him up in the hospital.
I'm singing.
We sing more than words.
Yes.
I was waiting for that. I was like, no song.
More than words. Sorry. Show me how you feel. Right?
Yes.
Is that how that goes?
Yes. It's a better rendition than I remember.
Yeah, right.
So he wakes up in
the
hospital.
Two guys singing acoustic towards each other? Who doesn't like that song?
Yeah, there you go. So he wakes up in the hospital, and it turns out he managed to hold on to the shoe the whole time that his head got cracked open, and he lived.
Like, no one take my shoe away.
No, my shoe.
You might take me to the hospital. It's my shoe.
And
I got a thing for shoes.
So they start referencing, making Cinderella references.
Sure, why wouldn't they?
Obviously. So he wants to find out, he asks where the suicide note was.
Cinderella found her prince by jumping off the Eiffel Tower.
Well, yeah. So they're trying to figure out where the suicide note, or he says, go find the suicide note, because that way we can figure out who she was. Because it must have been in her hand. They didn't see it, but he did. So when she jumped, she lost it somewhere.
Yeah, maybe you're not really good at, you know, suicide thing. If you were just going to, I'm just going to put that in my pocket. Hopefully
yeah,
that won't
toss
fall
it
out
somewhere, yeah. So we have Chris and Brad search for the note around the Eiffel Tower in a goofy montage. And, of course, they are playing Walking on the Sun Smash Mouth.
Yeah, at least it was that song and not All Star.
Yeah, they probably couldn't afford All Star.
But if I'm gonna have a Smash Mouth song in the movie, it better be like this song.
Yeah,
because this is the only one that I could stand.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I like the song. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So Andy wakes up again, and there are kids playing around in the hospital. Great place for kids to be playing. And he sees.
Well, in Paris, that's where you play.
Oh yeah, you know.
Well, needles.
Ooh, and catacombs filled with human remains. So he sees the girl, and of course he gets up out of his bed and he's.
First of all, can we go back? Like, they are in the hospital, right? Because he bumped his head.
Yeah.
Yet you dove off, like you broke into the Eiffel Tower, and you dove off of it. Wouldn't the police be investigating this and like putting you kind of like?
I would assume so.
Scolding you for that?
I would assume so.
I don't know.
Well, and it's even, the whole thing is cheesy. Like, his whole head is wrapped up, and he's got, like, a little, like blood mark on his, like, jawline. But on top of his head, they put some bloody marks to be, like...
Put an X here.
Yeah, there's, like, an X.
They tape something, then his hair sticks out, like, tufts of his hair stick out.
Yeah, it's goofy.
It's goofy.
So he goes after her. And he's tracking her down, and he yells, "Hey, I've got your shoe!" And she turns around, and there's this kind of slow motion moment. But the, basically, the this doctor knocks him down with the door. And when Andy asks if he saw the girl, he says, "She's stolen my heart."
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he's crazy.
Double entendre. So the guys find the note. Turns out her name is Seraphine Pigo. Andy returns the shoe. They go to her house and he returns the shoe. She says she has to go. He has to go away.
She's got like blood on her hands.
Yeah, when she grabs a shoe, she's got blood on her hands.
Something red.
Yeah, and of course Andy goes, no. She's trying to kill herself again, so he gets her to open the door again. And she says, "Oh no, I'm painting in the basement."
Is she a nurse? Is she not a nurse? I didn't even get that part. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. We eventually do.
Yeah,
okay.
I understand it a little bit more.
I understand a little bit of that, yeah.
Well, she's saying she's painting, but he won't take her word. No, he won't take no for an answer. He wants to come inside, and she says, "Tell you what, I will meet you tomorrow," and tells him where to meet. So the next day, before they meet, Chris dresses Andy like a douchebag. And fills his shirt pocket with condoms.
I don't think he dresses like a douchebag. He just dresses him in normal clothes that are douchebaggy because that's all they have are douchebag clothes.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so he says, fills his pocket with condoms and says, Andy's like, "Dude, this is our first date." And he goes, "Oh, you know, French women."
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
French women. Ooh la la.
But anyway, Brad and Chris said they're going to tail Andy, just to make sure everything's going okay. So Seraphine shows up, and they go into a cafe. Andy asks, "Your parents don't mind you seeing me?" Which is a weird, weird, like,
that's
out of the blue question.
Really what you should start your date off with.
Yeah.
Your parents don't mind, do you?
Yeah. But it is just a very weird, out of the blue question. And she goes, "Oh no, my parents are dead." And of course he comically goes, and, like, spits coffee everywhere. Sure. And he wipes his mouth, and she sees these pointers that, like, Chris wrote on a napkin while he's drying his mouth. So then she accuses him of just trying to get in her pants. And she says, "I see your friends over there trailing us. You know, they're going to watch us score, or what's happening?" And he swears he's not, but when he pulls another napkin out of his pocket, like 40 or 50 condoms, like, fly out. Like,
yeah,
there's tons of them. There's
tons of these things.
First, Chris, what did you think was going to happen? Secondly,
yeah, for, like, French women, no, come on, 40 times? Come on.
Yeah. God. The, but yeah, they just
maybe 39, but not 40.
Yeah, right. Don't be ridiculous. But they go everywhere. And, first of all, and you don't see that his, like, pocket must be bulging huge with these things.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, we don't notice that until they just all fly out comically. After these things fly out everywhere, he says, "Oh, it's an American thing. It's a joke. It's gum. And the joke is that it looks like condoms."
Right. Uh-huh. American would do that, don't you think?
Yeah, seems legit.
Yeah.
So she starts to unwrap one, and of course he grabs it and starts chewing it like it's gum.
Trojan Bazooka Joe bubblegum.
Bazooka jizz. Anyway, so she says it's customary for boys to... she asks him to blow a bubble. Says it's customary for boys to blow the biggest bubble possible. The bigger the bubble, the more the boy likes the girl. Which sounds like BS, but everything he has said has sounded like BS, so I think it's fair. So, of course, he's blowing up this condom and still pretending it's gum.
Yeah, he's blowing it up like a balloon animal artist.
It's ridiculous. It's like the size of somebody's leg.
He's already chewed on it. How is he then like...
Yes!
I'm blowing it up.
It has no teeth punctures in it?
Nothing.
No. It's ridiculous.
Nothing.
And it's like twice the size of his head.
Yeah, come on. You don't need magnums.
Yeah. But especially not like that. I think you're just going to need hospital. call the medics for somebody.
Jesus.
But of course, it flies out of his mouth and goes flying around the room with a terrible CGI bit, and you see it fly around in the background, and it lands on somebody's table. Seraphine says she's going to leave.
Really, like 20 minutes in the movie, we still haven't seen a werewolf?
Yeah, yeah.
But we've seen a great condom gag.
Yeah, you know, and way too much Tom Everett Scott.
Yeah, he's in this movie a lot.
I know he is.
He's a star.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, they're doing that thing you do.
So he begs her not to leave, saying her sadness moved him. Of course, she thanks him for saving her. And around that time, the waiter comes over and asks if this condom was his. Oh, he says, yes, it is. And some French hooligan with, like, this gigantic mullet comes over.
Oh, he does have a gigantic
mullet.
And
starts, like, yelling at him. And of course, she's trying to speak to him in French. And he starts grabbing Andy and kind of manhandling him. And she again is yelling at the guy trying to stop him. And he points at her. And of course, Andy says, "Don't you lay a finger on her," and gets in front of him. And the guy headbutts Andy. Seems right.
Right.
Seraphine, though, grabs the guy and throws him across the room and, like, through a table.
Yeah, like this Incredible Hulk moment.
Yeah, and not only that, a table leaning against just, like, a case full of, like, glasses just in the middle of the restaurant. And, of course, all that just falls over on top of it.
Right.
She leaves. Andy chases down Seraphine, who then says she cannot do this. And so the guys... then try to find her.
Yeah, because the bubble wasn't big enough.
Yeah,
that's why.
She wants one a little bit bigger than that.
And he's like, it's not the size that matters. It's how you blow the condom up.
Yeah, that was just a ridiculous scene.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I don't even know where to begin with that one. Anyway, but the guys go back to Seraphine's place. And they try to see if she's there, but they meet a guy named Claude who says she's not in.
This guy has the deepest accent. I can't understand anything he says.
It's very Gerard Depardieu. And
later on, we're gonna make sure we give him a lot of like plot movement. That way we can't understand anything he says.
Anything's going on, right.
Yeah.
So they're like, are you her boyfriend or family? What, you know, who the hell are you? And he says that he's her caretaker, but we don't know what the hell that means.
Is that really what he said? I seriously don't understand.
I take care of her, is what he said.
Oh, yeah, he said, I'll take care of her.
That's what he said.
Hamburger.
His terrible accent. Anyway, so he invites them to a rave at Club de la Lune, Club of the Moon, if you will.
Ooh, clever.
And that she would, when they're like, eh, no thanks. We're on our Daredevil tour. We're straight edge. We don't go to clubs. he says, oh, Seraphine will be there.
That's true. We just bungee cord
and have sex with many girlses. With women's. And so he says, okay, well, Seraphine will be there. So then they go,
we go.
Okay, that'd be great. And he's like, I love Americans the whole time. But he keeps talking about, I love Americans. Which is like his picture on a shirt that says, I love Americans under it. That should have been the poster for this movie. So the guys go to the club, but she's not there. It looks a little sketchy anyway. They're just like letting random people in. Bums, sure. Druggies, whatever. They almost don't let in the jackasses, but they're like, Claude sent us! And so they just let him in then.
Oh, yeah, Claude sent you. Okay, yeah.
So the guys go to the club, but Seraphine's not there. So Andy offers to, he said he's going to go back and see if he can find her. Chris says, no, I'm going to go back to the house.
You know, for the first 20 minutes, I got Chris and Brad confused. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I constantly was changing Chris and Brad.
I called them, like all three of them, Huey, Dewey, and Lucy, or Lucy, Goosey, and Moosey. I don't know. But I got them too confused. Like it would switch them around a lot.
Yeah.
Until stuff happened to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So Chris offers to go back to the house instead, so that way in case she shows up here, that Andy could see her then. So Chris heads out. Chris gets back to the place and kind of looking around. Nobody answers, but he sees a light on in the basement. And so he kind of peeks in there. And he sees Seraphine locked in a cell, like a jail cell. And, of course, he manages to pry open the window and get inside. And she says, no, you have to get out of here. You have to get out while you can. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to figure out what's up. And, of course, he says, is this some kind of kinky sex thing? Classic Chris.
He wants some sex points.
Oh, Chris, your sex points.
Do I get some sex points for finding a girl in a cage? Yes, you do, Chris.
You get vaguely rapey points, Chris.
You get rapey sex points.
Oh, man, yeah.
Ooh, you trapped in a cage. So she asks where the guys
are. You can't cage a woman.
What?
Or you can't cage a woman. Especially one that's in love with Ethan Hawke.
True.
Yeah,
it's true. he's a werehawk. He turns into the hawk. And she asks where are your friends? And he says, oh, they're at that Club de Lune, and shows her the pamphlet. And of course she says, oh my god, Andy and Brad are in trouble. and you got to get me out of here. And so he finds the key to go let her out. And of course, once she's free, she knocks him out and then locks him up in the cage. She arrives at the club just in time.
Totally scoring those sex points.
I don't know what happened, but I'm just going to assume sex points. So she arrives at the club just in time on her little bike with her like little bell, right, which she rings. Weird. At one point. She goes ding ding so that we know she's on a bike.
Up to the way.
So we know she's
always
on
been adorable
bike.
For me, but like you, yeah. I was like ding ding.
Yeah. No point to that.
No.
Anyway, so she gets there, and of course the bouncer guy is like, no, no, no. Nobody get in. And she goes, do you want to be trapped outside here with me? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll let you in. So then he lets her in. So she goes in, and she finds Andy and grabs him and says, let's get out of here, and makes a run for it through a bunch of tunnels. And like, well, she makes one of the werewolf guards like let her out or whatever.
Yeah.
Or one of Claude's guards let her out. So, of course, Claude pursues them. And then somebody points out to Brad that, hey, your friend is leaving. So he's following them, too.
Right. Well, your friend got lucky. Ooh.
Yeah. Your friend got lucky. So Chris, who is locked up, makes this makeshift way to get the key to get out. So he takes his clothes off and, like, flings them across so they're underneath where the key is after tying them all together.
Sure.
And then throws his shoe to knock the key down.
It misses it.
Yeah. It does it with the second one.
Yeah.
Knocks the key down.
Thank God you got two shoes.
Yeah, right. Onto the clothes and then pulls them back to him.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. You know, yeah. A little bit smart, I guess.
Yeah. It works. So Chris gets out, I mean, he's naked, half naked at this point, so sex points?
Yeah, I guess.
Give Chris some sex points?
Yeah. Okay. Poor Chris in this movie gets, like, nothing.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Just like, for somebody who's bragging about all these sex points, he does a whole lot of nothing.
No, but I mean, they just torture him kind of in this movie.
They do.
Yeah.
They do a lot. At this point, Seraphine, who's leading Andy through the tunnels, basically she tells him, no, you have to get out. Keep going. You go without me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy's like, no, I don't want to. And he kisses her. Of course, she kind of like grabs his back and kind of claws him almost a little bit. And she starts telling him again to get out and like yelling at him. And her voice is changing. So that's like,
Get out. I sound like Ethan Hawke now.
Yeah, she sounds like all growly and like weird. And of course he's like, I'll just never understand women. No, apparently not. If you think that voice thing that's happening is normal.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah. Women. That's a women thing. When your voice changes and your face turns into some sort of monkey lizard thing.
You must be going through something then. Ooh.
So in the club, basically, all these guys start turning into werewolves and killing all the humans that are there.
I think there's some were-ladies, too, in there. Werewolf girls, too, don't you think?
I didn't think there were.
Okay. Maybe not. Dudes. Maybe it's just her.
Yeah. I only see the one.
Yeah, her.
Yeah. So, Seraphine, of course, then starts turning into a wolf with some of the worst CG.
Worst.
This is even terrible by like 90 standards.
I think so too.
It is awful by even 1997 standards. It is terrible. And not only that, like whatever the hell these wolves are supposed to look like, they seriously look like monkeys? Creatures. They look like monkeys.
Like were-monkeys?
Yeah, were-monkeys.
Would you say it was the kid from
like the kid from Jumanji?
Yeah.
When he turns into the hokey looking, like where he turns into a monkey thing.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind
like
of
that.
What it was. So
I thought it was a kid from Jumanji.
Except worse.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It looks worse. Because you know they're supposed to be wolves. So back at the house, Chris, because you kept hearing this kind of like beeping of like a heart rate monitor kind of a thing. And so you hear
it
still.
Yeah, and the curtain.
Yeah. And so Chris goes, huh. So he goes, hello, and starts looking. first off, if you're in a basement and there is a like a jail cell,
you leave it alone.
And you got locked in there.
Leave it alone.
And then there's like a medical, like a curtain in the middle of the
thing. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Don't go near it.
Get
it's
out.
It's okay. Yeah. But he goes, hello, and starts walking over to it.
I'm Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
And he opens the curtain to find a werewolf that's like strapped to this table.
Yeah, like on a medical bed.
Yeah. And of course it, he screams and backs up and the stretcher falls over and this thing is still hooked to it, but it's dragging itself over towards him, yeah, trying to get to him. And of course he tries to open this door to get out, but it's just filled with like boxes and boxes or whatever, like medical supplies. And so he's kind of trapped. When it gets close enough, he climbs up the door.
Yeah, like a parkour move.
Yeah, and then like jumps onto the side of the stretcher and over it, runs, grabs a couple things, jumps, and then just the like just sleek slides out the window.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was a pretty good move, but sure, he escaped with the power of parkour. Now, meanwhile, in the tunnels, Brad, who has gone to find Andy and somehow has procured like a gas or like a kerosene lantern.
Yeah.
Which I have no clue where that came from.
I don't
from.
Know where that came from.
So he has this lantern and he's walking around and he gets jumped by a wolf and basically gets his throat ripped out. And of course, his body washes down the tunnel and out into the Seine River.
Poor Brad.
Yeah. And they even, poor Brad, because the last time we see him is they do a red fade, like they fade to red.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty cheesy. Also in the tunnels, Andy is just trying to find his way out. So he gets jumped by a werewolf that's behind this gate. So like the gate comes crashing down and it's coming at him. And he grabs part of the wrought iron gate and just stabs it, like, in the shoulder. But, of course, it keeps coming after him after it kind of recoils in agony a little bit. Andy manages to shimmy through a pipe, but the wolf bites his leg before he escapes all the way.
These French werewolves. You know what they say about French werewolves, right?
They look like monkeys?
No, that they don't shave their armpits.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
Nope. What?
they transform under a crescent moon. anyway, so the next morning, Andy wakes up at Seraphine's. Don't know how he got there.
No.
Don't know anything.
She's making him French toast.
Well, she's making him
okay,
hearts.
No, she's not.
She opens up a container.
Yes, she's making him
and takes out two hearts.
A heart smoothie.
So now we understand.
You know what they say, two hearts is better than one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to be heart healthy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But now we understand when the doctor was like, she stole my heart.
Yeah.
She literally stole hearts.
Yeah, hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course she is putting them in a blender and just pureeing them. Now you see in the background, I don't know if you noticed, but did you see Chris in the background during all of that?
Yeah, kind of. Like, he's like, you, how do you not?
They never focus in on him, but you can see, like, the color of his hair and, like, his silhouette, where obviously he's looking in through the window.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, focus in on it, which I kind of thought was cool, because it was not necessary to show that. It was nice to be like, ooh, who is that? Or assume what it is.
Sure, yeah. I'll go with it.
Yeah. It was one of those moments where I was like, okay, I like that. So Chris, who is spying through the window, basically sees the whole thing. Now, magically, he knows what upper-level room Andy is in.
Yeah, magically.
Yeah, because he's never been levels of the house.
Well, he's been below.
Yeah.
But not up above.
Yeah, and he doesn't see which room it is. But so he's like throwing little rocks and just happens to get the room that Andy's in.
Yeah.
And he tells him, you know, she's sick. She's got some sort of mutant trapped in the basement. You know, she's crazy. You got to get out of there. And of course, right about then, Seraphine is coming in. So Andy lays back down. And she brings him the drink. And he's like, is that Clamato?
And no, that's what he gave her, right?
Yeah.
Besides turning him to a werewolf.
Chris and all his sex points, I'm sure he has Clamato by now. But he's also surprised to find the bite on his leg, which he thinks is from a giant feral dog, is gone. And she says, well, it's due to your new metabolism. And of course, he says he needs to leave, but she begs him to stay and to stay calm. And she says, this will calm you down, and rips her shirt off.
Yes.
And puts his hands on her breasts.
Sure. You said that very politely.
Yeah.
I would have been boobs, but yeah. You said breasts.
I was going to say boobs, but I wrote down breasts, and I figured, you know what? I'm going to go with it.
Go with it. Classy. Stay classy there, yeah. Jeremy. I love it. Okay. But really, boobs.
So
he's got his hands on French boobs.
Yeah.
And he says, ooh la la, I like these.
He's got his hands on her French rolls. And the
French rolls.
On her Notre Dame's.
Oh.
And
You're on fire right now.
So she says she has to tell him something. Seraphine drops the werewolf bomb and that he's a wolf now, too. He says he'll play whatever kinky game she's into. And then all of a sudden we realize he's hallucinating. He's in his bed going, ooh, 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 and like howling and like molesting the air. And she walks in and was like, what the hell are you doing? And he said, oh my God, I'm sorry. So then she gets on top of him again and then rips her shirt off and she's a werewolf underneath. And then we realize he hallucinated that, and he really is groping her.
So it's like the opposite of Inception.
Yeah. Reception.
Reception. Yeah.
Unception.
Unception. Yeah, reception Unception. Would be like when, yeah. When you get married and you have a reception.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unception. Outception.
Yes, outception.
Yeah, outception.
So she outceptions him. and all of a sudden, her mom is there. And her mother shows up and says, oh, you did it again, just like with Claude. And Seraphine corrects her that Claude stole her blood.
Right, but she's pushing Tom Everett Scott's face. And Tom Everett Scott goes, wait a minute, didn't you say that your mom was dead?
Yeah. And she says, well, I'm not what I used to be. I don't look as good as I used to be. He's like, nonsense. I'm sure you two look like sisters. And then he sees her reflection in the mirror.
Right.
Or in whatever. And she looks like a zombie.
Nah, she looks like a French woman. Yeah, or a zombie, yeah.
A zombie, yeah. And so he, of course, freaks out. And he gets up and she goes, oh, you scared her away. So then Seraphine, he's like, no, I got to get out of here. You guys are messing with my mind. And Seraphine goes, no, we're not messing with your mind. Just drink this cup of red sludge.
Right.
Like, what a way to convince somebody you're not messing with them.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Just drink unknown this. Goop. So then all of a sudden the mother appears behind him again, all rotten looking. And he freaks and just dives out the window. And he grabs all his stuff and starts running. Chris tries to give chase because he's there, but Claude grabs him and, of course, mutters something about loving Americans again.
I don't know.
And drags
I can
him
never
away.
Understand him, so.
Yeah. So Andy makes it back to the club, and when he gets there, there are police detectives everywhere, and they're sifting through body parts, just random body parts.
Is this main police guy supposed to be, like, a big actor that I don't know about because they put him in... Like
Not that I know.
Okay.
He might be a French actor, but I don't know who he is.
Okay.
He's not like the guy from like Leon the Professional.
No,
whatever.
But he kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
In a way.
I feel like it was supposed to be him.
I don't know, but it kind of looks like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Andy, he's back at the club. They're sifting through body parts, and of course he's panicked, searching for Brad. Finally, he gets by the riverfront as they're pulling Brad's body from the water, and he's all ripped up. The detectives bring Andy in and ask him why all the hearts were missing from all of the victims.
Right.
That was the only thing they didn't find, was all the hearts.
What?
And he said, are you okay? What are you doing?
Oh, just clipping my nails.
Clipping your nails?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the show?
Well, they got a little big. I'm sorry.
They're just getting long?
They're getting long. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Did you just clip them earlier?
No, they're just getting long, but keep going. Oh, okay. We're doing this movie.
So the
what?
Right. So they're wondering why it's missing. Was it like a ritual slaying? Was this like a satanic thing? And of course, he says he was attacked. But you okay?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just stretching. Tired? Yeah, no, I'm a little tired. I was just stretching. Okay. Sorry, did I make a noise? Sorry.
You're just stretching, it sounded like. He said he was attacked by a giant dog. And they say to test him for drugs, of course. So Andy walks out. Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. I feel like I need to shave.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get a 5 o'clock shadow at 11:30. Things are getting a little hairy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're getting a little...
I don't know what's going on.
Stop. Are you okay?
Oh, I think I'm turning into Tom Everett Scott.
Oh no, he's a weird Tom Everett Scott.
Oh, God, that's the... Well, you know what's worse than a werewolf? What? Turning into Tom Everett Scott.
Oh, no.
God, ugh.
Wait, how does one turn into a were Tom Everett Scott?
By watching reruns of Southland. And wondering why you're not really in this that much.
Were you bitten by Tom Everett Scott at a fan signing?
I was.
Meet and greet?
Just you get bitten by Tom Everett Scott and you're just kind of like plain Jane. You're like, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Yeah, hey,
everyone. I was in that thing you do. Go ahead. Where were we at?
Gosh, I really don't know anymore. Okay, so Andy walks down the Parisian streets, and his senses start becoming more acute. So they're playing a lot with sound and, like, some of the visuals. So, like, light, they were, like, making things super bright. Or, like, the sound was coming from different, you know, all over the place. Just different things were happening. I kind of liked the way that they were doing that with how they were playing up, like, his senses. But of course, just as soon as they did that,
then the dog effed
the scene up by he realizes that a little dog is humping his leg.
Yep.
And there went any kind of hope I had for that.
So he gets hungry, right?
Yeah. So he goes to a cafe.
And he should be mourning the death of Brad, but he's not.
And, you know. So he's eating like an animal at this point. And the waiter brings out a steak, and he said, no, I didn't want rare. I said, like, I wanted it rare and bloody. Like, I wanted this really rare. And he starts to leave. He goes, no, I'll take it. And so he's eating the steak that is practically raw.
Right.
And just chewing it and kind of it's hanging out of his mouth and everything.
Yeah.
But just then, an American, Amy Finch, played by Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen.
Walks in.
Emmy Award winner Julie Bowen.
Yes. Of course, Andy sniffs the air, and they do this real, like, tight close-in on his
He's
nose.
Like, of on his all
nostrils,
fours?
Of his nostrils flaring.
Is he, like, walking on all fours?
Yeah, and then he starts crawling around on all fours, like a dog.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get a drink. He jumps up, kind of startles her, but introduces himself, and he sees her pupils dilate, so he knows that she's into him. And he says, hey, do you want to get something to eat? So Amy and Andy basically get drunk at some restaurant.
Sure.
And they're gorging themselves on all this food.
Oh, yeah.
The waiter brings out the next course.
This is drunk, bubbly Julie Bowen. It doesn't work for me because I'm
just bizarre.
So used to seeing her as the dumpy mom.
Yeah, right. And I said this, too. I could have seen... Seeing those two, and especially like seeing Tom Everett Scott in this movie, I think he could have been
Phil Dunphy.
Yeah, he could have been Phil Dunphy.
Maybe Phil Dunphy's brother.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
although I want Tom Cavanaugh to do that because that'd be really good.
Because he's everybody's brother.
Go ahead.
So when they bring up the next course, they open up the top of the tray and you see Brad's head. And he's like, hey, man, I'm dead. And basically starts rising through the table. And Andy's the only one who sees it. And of course, he's like, oh, I watched them fish you out of the river. And of course, it's yeah. fish on the plate. So Amy is just laughing. Yeah. And he leaves and heads to the bathroom. And so they're talking to him. And he says that he's basically undead. He's going to remain a restless spirit right. until the werewolf who killed him dies. So back to the first
movie. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Back to the kind of the first movie.
Yeah. So they follow some of the same rules there. Of course, they have this bit where he's talking to Brad as the ghost and saying, no, you're dead. Everybody knows this and this, you know.
In the bathroom, you mean?
You know, you're rising yeah. and this and this. Yeah, he's at the urinal. So it sounds like he's talking to his dick.
His penis. Oh, you said breast, but then you say dick.
Yeah, because you scolded me for...
penis.
To his penis.
Okay.
And so he's talking to it. And, of course, some guy's like, oh, and just runs away. So then Andy and Amy, you see them drunkenly walking down the street. And he says, hey, or because he's getting hot for it. And even Brad's like, you wouldn't normally go for the skank. What's
we noticed that someone's following them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a detective dude who's awkwardly following them. And they say they're going to go have sex on Jim Morrison's grave.
Sure. I love Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I love the Doors. So he starts...
Which is not true. She likes closets. Closets, closets, closets.
So they start having sex. And she's like, oh my God, you are burning up.
Yeah.
Because he's starting to transform.
I actually put, this is how Haley got made.
That makes sense. Yeah, she's kind of aware, Tom Everett Scott. She's pretty that interesting.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, but he runs away and dives into a fountain. Of course, like, steam comes out of it because his body's on fire pretty much. And she's like, oh, fine. Like, why is it always like this? And blah, 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 just, like, walking around chattering. And he transforms into the monkey wolf and starts chasing CG. After her. Yeah, God, it's terrible. But she hides. She ends up hiding in a crypt, and she's like, spraying her perfume to like mask her scent or something. I don't know why she kept spraying it.
Sure.
But it looks like
that was a choice. Julie Bowen said, I'm going to do that. That's my character choice.
I spray this everywhere.
I spray this.
I'm my career really giving is a perfume character. Girl at Dillard's. Yeah. So it looks like the wolf has found her, but it's really just the detective who was following them. He's like, oh no, it'll be fine. You know, I'm a detective. And then all of a sudden he freezes, and Wolf Andy jumps and lands on Amy and just starts tearing her apart, and then goes after the detective and kills him too. Andy wakes up the next, and then you hear like the dog that's with him, you hear it go right, and that's it. So Andy wakes up the next morning.
He wakes up and it's the werewolf paparazzi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking pictures of him.
People are taking pictures of the naked guy in the cemetery with blood around his mouth.
Sure. I mean, rightfully so. I would too.
And he's naked and covered in blood, and he's next to a dead dog.
Yeah, right.
It's not ripped apart. I don't get what the joke is. If he, like,
I don't think there's anything funny about a dead dog,
his
Jeremy.
Way with the dog or what?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gross.
Yeah, right. I don't get what it was happening or what the point was of that. But
nope. Don't care to think about it.
Yeah. So, of course, the police show up and arrest him. They show him Amy's body in the morgue, because why wouldn't they? So they take him there and say, you know, look at her. What did this? Did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Questioning him. And, of course, her eyes open. Turns out she also is one of the restless spirits now. And so she's griping at him, much like the Claire that we know. and she says that she, you know, you should kill yourself or die so that I can be free.
Yeah.
And Brad says, no, I need him first. Like,
right.
He's got to help me. And so, of course, they're arguing.
Can I tell you, I actually like Brad and Julie Bowen's character after they're dead, not before they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, my you actually have character now.
Yeah, but it's very short-lived. And only when their interactions are happening together.
Yeah.
Because they're arguing and it's loud and whatever. Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not bad. But, like, I wanted more of it.
Yes, I would agree. Well, Andy asks how he can become human again. They said, you're not going to like it. Basically, you have to kill the wolf that turned you. And he thinks that's Seraphine.
Right.
So he's like, you're probably going to kill her. And of course, there's this moment where he almost walks into traffic and Brad warns him. And Amy's like, why would you do that? And he's like, come on. We already,
Told you I need him.
So they are fighting. Bless you.
Sorry.
My God, you've developed Tom Everett Scott's allergies.
I'm hungry like the wolf.
So while the ghosts are arguing, some guys who we recognize as the werewolves from before in some sort of like Eurotrash K car, they kidnap Andy. And they take him to a cathedral.
Yes. And here's where the plot.
So, yeah, this is where it gets weird.
And we don't understand it because it's coming from Claude.
Yeah, I got it. So, because I listened to it more than once.
Maybe I didn't want to get it.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
There's a difference between getting it and it making sense.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it didn't seem like it made sense. Go ahead.
No, it was kind of awkward. So, Claude says that their mission, he and these others, their mission is to purify the world, which is why they kill the dregs of society.
Okay.
They kill, like, these druggies, and he goes on to say, like, people who accept charity and who are, like, on, receiving government aid and things like that.
Okay.
And so that's who they want to target. He said, all these other people are loyal to me. They joined up with me. He's like, you were created by an accident. So Claude says, I'm going to give you an offer to join us. You know, if you'll vow to, like, end these people who are living in poverty and end this and this, or be free of the world of technology.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I don't get, like, why all of a sudden there's this Luddite kind of, you know, anti-technology thing with werewolves, but...
This is the worst Orson Welles speech for the cuckoo clock.
What did they create?
The cuckoo clock.
Yeah. But he says, of course, Andy says, well, I need some time to think about that, which is a classic, basically, no.
Right.
I've had to tell people I was going to think about that, and it always means no. So Claude takes him to a room where Chris is chained up and basically says, cut out Chris's heart. That's so you can show that you're loyal by cutting out his heart.
I was going to say something here, but I'll think about it. Go ahead.
Of course, Andy says he would rather die than do that. So Claude and his minions basically say okay and try to kill him. But of course, he fights back. And maybe just to, like, knock the knives out of their hands and, like, kind of stay afloat. As he's doing that, Seraphine shows up and saves Andy.
She knows where they're at.
Yeah, of course she does. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
But they... Because I think she ran with them for a little bit.
Okay.
But they escape. And, of course, leave Chris. They are big about leaving his friends behind.
Care about
left
Chris.
Left Chris. They left Brad. You know what happened to Brad, but you're still okay with leaving Chris, apparently. And as they run, this music that is playing, it's very dramatic and like it's supposed to be kind of like orchestral, like like a skate music.
We both thought the same thing.
It goes Inspector Gadget. We're like, it's the Inspector Gadget music. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like they run.
The choice of music in this movie.
Yeah, it was bad.
Weird.
Yeah, and it's weird because everything else is like this 90s, like...
90s post-punk
rock. Yeah, post-punk, ska, right. And whatever else.
And then in or some like in kind of industrial.
Yeah. And then right like in the middle bush. Of it. Yeah. And then right in the middle of it is this weird orchestral
it's
piece.
It's weird. Yeah.
So they dive through this like little hole that like drops out into water where then they swim away. There's this whole thing is just a I don't know, it's just like a mishmash of where things
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Things fall into the sewers, things fall
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and there's
the
always
water,
like a hole where they fall into something.
Into another set.
Into,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they manage to escape.
They never though when they do fall in the hole land on Plot. I noticed that.
No. No.
There's land on their butt but never Plot.
Yeah, no. There's plot free zones all over the place here. So back at Seraphine's, Andy asks if she knew Claude's plan. And of course she said yes, but that's not how this started. Turns out she was a werewolf, or she was turned into a werewolf, and her mom was a nurse, which is where she got the nurse's outfit.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And to feed her, her mom used to bring her hearts.
Right.
So which is how she got the outfit yeah. and would go and get them again now.
It's also then, her Halloween costume.
Yes. And it turns out her stepfather was a scientist also. It was like a medical researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to figure out a cure for the condition.
Yes.
And
a way to get tickets to the cure, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But he figured out when like the lunar cycles were and everything or right. for the wolves. And thought if he could keep her, if he gave her a depressant
right.
under a certain level, that it would keep her calm. Right.
And he likes the Smiths better than the Cure anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, come on.
Who doesn't?
Right. So the last serum that he made and, like, tested for her transformation, basically it transformed her immediately. So it didn't even wait for the full moon. She just transformed right off the bat. And because she wasn't locked up, that means she killed her mother, and so we were seeing her mother's spirit earlier,
mm-hmm.
And chased her stepfather, who was the scientist we saw
the
before.
The scientist.
So it ties back
getting
to the
boys
beginning.
Getting boys' pizza.
Yeah.
Oh,
from the where the Ninja Turtles were not helping. they all look like Splinter. That's who the werewolves look like.
In Paris, yeah, I guess it would.
So when she saw what she did, she brought her stepfather back and put him, minus his legs that she ate, on life support. So she's upset, but Andy was like, hey, man, this is not your fault. Like, you tried to do the best you could do. Andy says they have to go back for Chris. Finally, he cares. We have to go back for Chris. And she says Claude is a bastard and that they're... and basically... So his friend is chained up. Claude is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is ready to kill your friend at any moment.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they decide it's a great time to bone. And so...
Why not?
Yeah, so that turns them on. And so just then, you hear a car screech. Claude and his minions show up and bust into Seraphine's house. And, of course, Andy starts running away. But instead of dramatic music... Now they're playing some sort of ska song that he's running mm-hmm. away to. So Andy is hiding behind this between these two cars. But Amy's ghost shows up. And, of course, she's more rotten looking now. So she starts calling to the wolves, and they can see her. So they start heading that direction. She tries to whistle. But because she's rotting more, blood just shoots out of her cheek, like where right. she's been clawed. So she tries again while covering her cheek hole, and this time her eye pops out.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Stupid.
But Andy basically kicks the bumper of one car, and the guy thinks that the guy behind him hit him, so he comes out and they're fighting and arguing. He starts to take the car. And it's just like chaos from there.
Oh,
like
it's chaos.
Cars start wrecking up, and they do all this, and he manages to escape by climbing onto the back of a bus that's leaving while all the wolves are kind of trapped in all the car wrecks. Back at Seraphine's.
That ska song, yeah. was that Rancid from Out Came the Wolves?
I don't
anyway, know. Go ahead. Sorry, yeah. It's an album.
Back at Seraphine's, her stepfather is dying. So, like, he's crashing at this
right.
point. And she's trying to use the paddles, the defibrillators, to get him going. But it doesn't work. He dies. And she was like, he's the last hope we have to getting a cure. Turns out Claude destroyed all the notes and stole the samples of that serum. The same samples that could make them turn into a werewolf whenever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So Claude was kind enough, though, to leave behind a flyer for a 4th of July party.
Right.
For Americans only.
I love Americans. Americans are great.
Yeah, so he left behind a flyer so they knew exactly where he was. Great. Americans load into this cathedral, the same one we saw before. And, of course, the French detectives show up, and they're like, what's going on here? And the same bouncer from before goes, yeah, okay, and lets them in.
Right.
So they go inside. The bouncer ends up blocking the door with a
bulldozer.
Like a bulldozer. Inside, Andy has managed to sneak in, and he tries to get everyone out, but they won't listen to him. And, of course, the cops are coming after him because that's the crazy guy they keep coming after.
The crazy guy.
In the meantime, the wolves come out in, like, monks' clothing. The wolves in monks' clothing.
The wolves in monks' clothing.
They come out in these monks' clothing and do this, like, little rehearsed number thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then inject themselves. And at the same time, they reveal Chris. He's tied to this cross. Like the,
yeah, poor
the,
Chris.
I know, right?
Getting those sex points.
Yeah, right? He's...
Dude, I got like a million sex points.
People are looking at me without my shirt on. That's sex points, right?
I'm being crucified like Jesus. That's sex points, right?
I've got wood. I'm sex points.
6 points.
So
totally beating you guys. And you're a werewolf, Andy. You're a spirit. And I'm still beating you on 6 points.
So I don't get what the point is with Chris on the cross.
Chris Cross.
It makes them jump. but no, he's tied to the cross. I'm like, are you going to kill him in front of everybody? What's the plan here?
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. And of course, they start turning. And one of the cops even, like, he handcuffs himself.
To one of the monks.
Yeah. And, of course, he changes. Like, everybody's changing. And kills the guy who's... tied to kill them.
Wouldn't this be a great time to play like David Bowie? Changes.
Yes, or Howl at the Moon.
Or something.
Bark the Moon.
Yes, something good.
Yeah. So everybody finally sees that they're werewolves. And like chaos ensues. People are running everywhere, but they can't get out, so they're trying to get through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, around that time, you keep hearing something outside of the chapel. You see the bouncer who's keeping the door shut. He's kind of looking up because he hears something.
What was going on? Keep going.
Because he hears something. And turns out it is like a gargoyle or something from on top. Seraphine knocks it down and crushes that guy on the bulldozer.
Oh, okay.
And then manages to... get it moved out of the way so people can get out. So they're escaping. Or people start escaping. Chris manages to rock back and forth on the cross.
Yes, he does.
And it snaps off.
Mm-hmm.
And he lands on the ground. Of course, you see him running out with the cross strapped
with
to his
cross,
back.
With the cross, yes.
And right as, like, the head female detective from before, she, like, pulls up and goes, what the hell is happening? Like, she sees chaos.
Right. And the so one that thought, like, it was all about drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's like, all right, let's get in there. And they get inside. Andy shoots one of the wolves a couple times. And, of course, the cops are firing. The detectives are shooting on some of the wolves, too.
Uh-huh.
You see that there's this one that Andy had shot. It reverts back to a human form. And then Brad gets to go home, or gets to go because that was the
right,
wolf
that was the one that bit him. Yeah, yeah, so he crosses over.
So he gets to cross over. So right, he kind of turns into smoke and flies yeah away.
So that's the end of Brad.
Yeah. Thanks for doing nothing, Brad.
Yep.
Andy and Seraphine. Uh-oh, Brad just vanished.
Nope, I'm here.
Oh,
I'm
he's
back.
So
he's the wrong werewolf.
Andy and Seraphine basically chase Claude into the tunnels because Andy sees him go in there. The other detectives, like the main female detective, shows up, and the other detective guy who we've been working with, he says, no, they were werewolves. And he pulls back one of the robes, and you see it's just a guy.
Yeah, it's just a guy.
And so she says that, oh, the drugs everywhere.
Drugs.
It's all drugs.
Drugs.
So they decide to chase after Andy into the tunnels. So Claude almost gets the main detective who's walking around down there. After the guy, he runs out of bullets.
Yeah.
And he starts coming after him. The detective stumbles backwards and falls through that same hole that Seraphine and Andy jumped through earlier and just goes into the water.
There's holes.
So he just gets away.
In the plot and the sets?
Yeah. There's another werewolf who kills like two more detectives.
Yeah.
As Seraphine finds him. I thought this was Claude, but it was not.
No. Again, we think Claude. Yeah. Like, where's Claude?
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell the difference between these werewolves once they turn.
Yeah, they all just look like
they all look the same.
Things, yeah.
So
she tries to shoot him, but she's out of bullets. And as she flees, she finds another vial of serum, like on one of the dead werewolves. She injects herself.
She injects herself.
Fights this werewolf, who again I thought was Claude.
Nope.
And she gets her ass handed to her. Andy guns down that wolf.
Not Claude.
Who reverts back to a guy who was not Claude.
Not Claude.
Yeah. And she, in the meantime, has reverted back also.
Yeah.
And she is just messed up, and she's hurting. She says it hurts too much, and she asks Andy to kill her and eat her heart. Normal request.
Yes.
And he says he can't. And they kind of do. She goes, do it. And he goes, I can't do it. I
can't.
By the
way, this
over
is,
and
this
over.
This is their third date, I think.
Yeah, I think it counts.
Yeah.
And so they keep over and over. Do it. No. Do it.
No. No, do it.
He's
okay,
got the knife over his head the
you
whole time.
Yeah.
And finally the cops arrive, and they start shooting at him, which is smart because there's a live person who they have noticed right there.
So you should probably shoot the gun.
Well, yeah, you should probably wildly shoot into the cave.
By the way, did you notice that the wolf vision is always in amber? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was stupid.
Because it was all yellowish
or
whatever?
Yeah, it was all yellowish. I was like, whatever.
Yeah, it was weird.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Obviously he doesn't kill her, but he chases off, and he's like, I have to go get Claude! I think originally that was supposed to have been Claude.
Okay.
But they
changed
it.
But they're like, we need a good, you know, closer.
We need more.
He needs to get his up and coming.
But seriously, because that whole, I have to go stop Claude, was all off screen.
That's true.
Which makes me think that they added that back in, and then they just replaced the scene of Claude changing with somebody else. Because otherwise, I think that was supposed to be their climactic scene. And it was very anticlimactic, so they're like,
do it. We need something else.
Yeah. So now
we need some more acting from Tom Everett.
Right. From Tommy Scott.
Tommy Ev Scott.
Tom Ev Scott. Me and my buddy Tom Ev. he's going to after where he thinks Claude is, and he sees this big hole, which he's kind of like, you know, it kind of has a suspenseful moment. Like,
yeah,
is
he
it
did
right
the movie
in there?
Anyway. Oh, you don't mean the script. I'm sorry.
Is it right in there? Is it whatever? So he, like, lights a match and he's looking. And you're thinking, oh, he's going to jump out.
Right.
But it doesn't. He just burns his fingers and he goes, ow, and stumbles back.
This is the clutchiest werewolf I've ever.
Falls down like a hole, a different hole, and just slides out into the subway.
Subway that's just there.
Yeah. And not a subway restaurant, even worse, the French mass transit system.
Yeah.
So he goes on to the subway.
So the werewolf chases him. He wants to eat fresh.
Well, he... judging by those condoms we saw earlier, probably a foot long.
Oh.
Ba-dum-boom. Full circle. Anyway,
I got to pay more for guacamole. Come on.
What?
There was like a thing where like you had to pay more for guacamole.
At Subway?
Yeah.
I thought that was like...
when they first started offering guacamole.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But now they've ruled they can actually have an 11-inch foot long their sandwiches.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
They because people sued for false advertising because they're only 11 inches long. They're not actually a foot long. And people were like, "That's false advertising because it's not a foot long."
Who fucking took their time to like measure the? Who cares a crap?
I don't know. But then the courts ruled that was okay, which I'm like, well, it's not also not okay, but
yeah, right,
neither
whatever.
Of these is okay. Anyway, so...
And that's your Subway moment of the day.
So, of course, Andy's on the subway platform, and the Claude Wolf jumps out at him, but right as the train is coming by, and Andy dives out of the way. And so the train hits the wolf, and, you know, the train kind of shakes, people right. drop all their stuff. They hit the brakes. Basically, you see somebody kind of... The conductor looks through the front window, and the werewolf just jumps through it and starts tearing through the train. So all the humans are rushing to the back of the car.
Oh.
Yeah. And right when they're cornered, Claude begins to revert back to his human form, and he kind of passes out. You see him come to, and he's... still kind of groggy, but then he realizes, oh, he's going to inject himself with another vial. As he goes to do that, Andy basically dives in through a window,
yeah,
kicks it out of his hand, and it sticks into the seat, and they're fighting.
You're right. This scene feels like it's just tacked in.
It is, yeah. And they struggle over this vial, and as he has Claude pinned up against the wall, he sees this X-shaped mark on him, which he realizes...
Wait!
It's the wolf who he stabbed earlier.
It's almost too late for this revelation.
Because I think it was supposed to be Seraphine that got him.
Yeah.
And people probably weren't happy that he had to kill
right.
his love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Poof, freaking who.
Yeah, right.
And so he realizes it's him... And so, and it was really like this prolonged recounting of how he stabbed that werewolf earlier. Like, we had to see the X shape and whatever, like, so
we don't
could connect the dots. Yeah. So basically, they start struggling over the vial again with the needle. And I actually thought it was kind of cool that they do this move where Tom Everett Scott grabs his arm and, like, pulls it in front of him. And then he just falls over so that injects him. And I thought it was like a pretty smooth, fluid kind of move. Thought it was kind of a cool move. But then Claude starts trying to run away. And Tom Everett Scott obviously starts transforming. And he transforms in front of all the humans and just kills Claude right there. In the meantime... The ambulance is driving away, and Seraphine says, she goes, "Oh, Andy, I'm so sorry. I love you, Andy. And je t'aime." And the guy goes, "Oh, lady, my name is Bruno, but I'm easy." Terrible.
It's really terrible.
Yeah. Except, I didn't think it could be worse until
the next thing begins.
So then we get a title card. Several full moons later. So we see. And so I think we're to assume that Seraphine was turned by Claude, maybe?
Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
Keep going.
Yeah. So Andy and Seraphine, you see them in wedding clothes.
Yep.
And they're like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" "Yeah, let's do it." And then Chris busts in and goes, "Hey, hurry, someone's coming." I'm like, "What is going on?" Andy says, "Well, okay, do you have the ring? Give me the ring." And Chris gets it out and he drops it. And of course, it starts rolling across
right.
the floor.
Right. Now, I've dropped my ring before. It does not go bounce, 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 bounce.
It gets really going.
It's going pretty good.
Yeah. And so they all scramble for it. Andy and Seraphine track it to this edge of this balcony, and they just, like, dive right over the side for it.
Right. And we realize that they're on the Statue of Liberty.
They're bungee jumping off the torch on the Statue of Liberty.
So Seraphine has joined their douchebag of daredevils.
Yeah, their daredevil points.
Yeah.
How many, surviving a werewolf apocalypse, how many?
I think you just win.
Daredevil points.
I think
you just
win that one.
Does Chris win? I mean, he lived, but he wasn't a werewolf.
No,
he,
Chris doesn't win. Come on.
But he gets the most sex points, right?
I don't know. Who cares?
Okay. So they both dive over the edge. Andy grabs the ring in midair.
Of course.
And spins around and puts it on Seraphine's finger.
But then Chris notices one of them is not tied. They are the worst at bungee cord, like safety.
Yeah, you are the worst. How is this
the
even
worst?
He turns around and notices one of them isn't there or isn't connected.
I figured we sucked at the Eiffel Tower. We would have thought about that on the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Nope.
So he's like, oh no. So he goes and dives to catch it, but this time he misses. Which I was happy for.
Yeah.
But
I was too, but no.
But as he looks over the edge, we realize it's okay because Andy and Seraphine are hugging each other. And so now the one bungee cord now is supporting both of their weights.
Yep. Because and the other one's just flipping around, I guess?
Yeah, because that's how bungee cords work. You don't have to properly weight them or anything.
No.
The too much weight would not make that, you know, shred into multiple parts and both of them go plummeting to their death. It's like just a fixed thing that holds as much weight as you attach to it. Stupid.
So
and so, of course, then Chris cheers and they're just like dangling by this torch.
Yep.
The end.
Credits. We don't know if they're still werewolves.
Nope. We don't know if...
we don't know what happened to Julie Bowen's character.
Yeah, we don't know if she got vindicated and left.
I doubt it because what's his face? Yeah, we don't know. Maybe.
Well, but
we don't know.
He wouldn't see her now anyway because he's no longer a werewolf, I assume.
We assume. I mean, I think as a Claude, we don't know.
Yeah.
We didn't really get any, you know, resolution from that. Anyway, you've been deuced.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is, you know, coming from the fact that American Werewolf in London is probably regarded as one of the best werewolf movies.
It has to be one of the best werewolves.
And you get this crap, which I think is probably one of the worst werewolf movies of all time.
Oh, no, it is. It is just...
It's pretty awful.
It's painful.
So let's hear what other people have said about it. This comes from Tierden. And they give it a 1 out of 10. It says, worst I've seen in years. I had been a huge fan of the original American Werewolf in London. And while I had no real hopes this would be as good as that one, which was just funny good, not real good. What?
What?
I had hoped to be entertained. I was not, aside from some physics bending during the bungee cord jump scene, a really weak plot, and some really stupid characters, the movie just went nowhere. I've watched training videos that were more fun to watch than this mess.
I have too, actually.
I have too. So there you go with that. This comes. This other one comes from Travis, in parentheses, Angel Boy -2.
Oh, Angel Boy.
Oh, Angel Boy -2. 7 out of 10 says fun, fun, fun. Until your daddy takes a T-bird away. I just added that part.
Okay.
I loved this movie, although it seems that many people hated it. Do they realize this is a obvious spoof? What?
What?
Yes, the special effects were dodgy. Yes, the acting was laughable. That was the point. This movie is similar. Oh, it gets worse. This movie is similar in style to Starship Troopers. Not as good, though.
No, it's not.
Lighten up and enjoy this B-rated spoof on horror.
It is not even anything fucking like Starship Troopers.
Thanks, Angel Boy.
Oh, my God. What a dimwit.
He's a dimwit.
He was a dimwit. I'm just going to call it. Angel Boy, you're a dimwit.
Angel Boy, it's obviously Angel Boy is one of our biggest fans. You're a dimwit.
I'm sorry, Angel Boy. Hopefully between here and there you got your wits about you.
And your wings. Because you suck.
Man, you suck so bad, you get sex points for
it. this is a bad movie.
Well, okay.
Again, not one of the, not the worst movie that we've reviewed.
No, not by far.
But, yeah, no, it's pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah, okay. Pretty bad. All right, well, let's talk about, and we know this is a tough one, and of course, this is easy on better movies, and we've even had some where
it was easy on bad movies, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What do you think was the best part of this movie?
Yeah, you go first.
I think the sets and the locations.
I think so, too. The location was pretty nice.
I think
nice.
The locations, yeah. Like, I think everything about where they were, their sets, their locations, everything was visually
appealing
that way.
We got to see Paris. We got to see they were in Amsterdam a little bit in the filming of this. I looked up.
But, I always got the feeling that they were in a European country.
Right.
That, like, even the house that they were in and, like, the basement.
These aren't Hollywood sets. This is an international film.
Yeah. Even the basements and everything, I got a good feeling for that.
Yeah.
Everything felt good in that regard. I liked their sets and their locations. Even though it was weird that there were like holes that led to everywhere,
it was kind of cool.
I thought it was kind of cool, like the cavern system that was underneath of that.
I don't know. I don't like it. I felt like it was a plot device to help to get out of a writing situation.
It was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
it was cool seeing it.
But I like the idea of that there was this massive, like, cave system.
I think I said it before. I think my favorite is the fact that, like, when Brad and Julie Bowen's character, I think her name is Amy, when they die, I actually liked their characters more. It brought some humor to a movie that didn't have a lot of humor.
Yeah.
But then they just wasted them. And I thought that was terrible. But I think I kind of liked them.
Yeah.
In that. Not necessarily. I mean, their acting was kind of bad at the beginning. But I think they had fun doing that part of
it. Yeah, I do too.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I think that was probably my favorite part. They just didn't expand on that.
Yeah. And I think Julie Delpy did really well with, like, the script that she
had. I think she was the better actor out of all of them. I think she was probably, you know, Tom Everett Scott probably had more at the time.
Yeah.
More experience, but she, I thought, was more professional acting.
I think she's a stronger actor.
I think she's a stronger actor. Yeah, you're right.
I agree.
Yeah, I enjoyed her acting. I didn't enjoy what she was saying.
Correct.
Yes.
And even she has confirmed that she was just like, I did this so I could pay my rent.
Right.
So, makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, I said reboot as a TV show, but make it Air American Werewolf, where it's a helicopter pilot who is also a werewolf.
Air Werewolf?
Yeah, Air Werewolf.
Werewolf, and it's W-A-I-R.
No, I'm just joking with you. Based on this movie alone, I would cancel it, but I kind of want more of it, so I would reboot it as more of a modern like TV show.
Call it
American Werewolf. And don't be all like American Werewolf in, but it's just American Werewolf. And they could go
maybe
anywhere.
Maybe each season could be a different locale. Or
maybe it's American Werewolf that's on, not on the land, but like on traveling. You
could
know,
you do
around.
Like an anthology werewolf show?
If you
where
want to,
each
yeah.
Each season takes place somewhere else?
You could.
Yeah.
But I say there's a possibility that you can. You could take... Because I think the mythology's there in this.
Yeah.
And if you do it correctly, you might as well.
Yeah.
And we got the special effects. And that's what sucks about this movie, is that the first movie was so good at the practical effects.
Yes.
That when you get this movie, it sucks with the special effects.
I think they were trying to be fancy with the special effects. So they thought, hey, we can pull this off. It looks bad.
Oh, it looks bad.
It looks so bad. They don't even look like the wolf from... The first movie.
What do you
say? No, okay, so this is a rare one for me. Usually I say to either cancel it or reboot it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say continue.
Is it werewolf, like American Werewolf in what, Athens?
Or not even that. It could be like, it could be an American Werewolf in America. Or American Werewolf wherever.
American Werewolf in Georgia.
Yeah.
And just put it in the country of Georgia.
Georgia.
Mind your P's and Q's.
Damn it. So, but no, I thought continue it, but like do like how sometimes you have those movies where the first one's good, second one is off the rails, and then the third one ties back better to the first one, where you're like, okay.
The Exorcist.
Like the Exorcist movies and things like that. So I said continue, but do it right.
Yeah, do it right for
like,
once.
Like, make up for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't we read that they were actually, or we...
Yes. So that was the story. John Landis with the first one, he, I mean, great movie. Amazing movie.
Amazing movie.
He wanted to make a sequel that focused on the lady from the first one, but then also tied back to the girl that they were talking about. Like, there was just some random girl they talked about.
Yeah, random girl
home.
They talked about. Yeah.
But that he gave her
That's
a
the girl
letter
I like.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gave her a letter that somehow looped her into all this.
Right.
And so, but their spirits would still be
character.
There like 14 years later, which you see them decomposing, so they have to be nothing.
Right.
At that point. But yeah, it went through and people were like, what?
Whatever.
Yeah. I have no clue how that would have worked. It would have been bizarre.
What's our next question?
Does this stand on its own?
Yes. I mean, there's really not a lot from the first movie that you... Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't even talk about the first movie. I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
There's no mention. There's no tie back. It's all in title alone.
Yeah. It's a sequel in name only.
So, yeah. It does.
It's barely a sequel. So, like...
Oh,
yes,
it barely
so
is.
It stands on its own.
Yeah.
And I think they even re-explained...
It stands on its own with wobbly legs, but it stands on its own.
They reiterate like about the whole thing with the spirits, like with the undead spirits that are wandering.
Yeah, but even that they explain it fine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it does.
You don't like you don't scratch your head. And go, well, why?
Yeah, you just have to accept.
Yeah.
It.
So you kind of do in the first movie.
Yeah. So no, I think it stands on its own. Does this make you want to see the first movie?
This movie alone does not make me want to, but I want to, because it's such a good movie, and it's a ton of season to watch it.
And I want to watch
this, this movie doesn't make me want to watch the first one.
I just
want
to watch the first one.
I just want to watch it, yeah.
But if I came across
any
this
chance
movie
to
first,
watch this,
if I came across this movie first, never having seen the first one, I'd be like, why the hell would I? I guess I don't know. Part of me would think, well, what was the deal with the first one? Because was it this guy again? Maybe I would watch it. I think I might.
I think
still.
I'd be curious enough to probably watch it.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes, like.
But part of me just doesn't want to.
Sometimes I get a movie that's, like, so good that I'm like, oh, I want to see the first part of it.
Right.
Sometimes I get a movie that's so bad that I'm like, what could that first part have been that they greenlit this the second time? Mm-hmm. You know? So I probably still would have watched it to be like, what made this happen?
Yeah, I could see that.
I think so the last question, two words.
Describe my experience in two words?
Yes.
Well, you Doctor Who fans, Bad Wolf.
Nice. Bad Wolf.
Bad Wolf. Yep.
Mine was French Mistake.
The French Mistake. Those are two very good ones.
Hooray!
Hooray! Yay!
So, you have been deuced. That's
on,
it.
On episode 28 of American Werewolf in Paris.
Yes.
We did it so you don't have to.
Correct.
This is one of those ones. You can't stream it anywhere. If you do run across it on television during the holiday season of October, skip this.
Do not
watch it.
If you need something like bungee cord jumping, or if you want to hate watch something,
If you want to hate watch something, you can't even make fun of this that much. I mean, we tried to, but
you could,
but whatever.
Yeah, you could. Totally,
well, yeah, we just did, didn't
this.
We? Yeah. What else we got going on?
So again,
in our werewolf collection.
Yes. So we have
some ginger snaps.
Ginger snaps. The second Ginger Snaps. So, fun story. You also cannot stream that
you
anywhere.
You also cannot stream that one either.
Yes. Awkwardly enough.
So, we're doing good.
And you month. Can... they actually have it on YouTube. But neither of their time frames match up. Like, one seems too long and one seems too short. So, I don't know what the deal is. But but you can definitely order it. Just like you can order this one online, DVD copies. Also, we have The Howling 2 coming up.
Yeah, The Howling 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yes.
Exactly. Your sister's a werewolf.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the outside of that, we have...
I'm looking forward to that because I've never seen The Howling 1.
Yeah.
And we have a crossover, right?
We're working on a crossover, yeah.
Where we're going to watch the first one and watch the second one.
Yes.
Just like we did with American Horror Story. Or an American...
American Psycho.
I always say that, damn.
But yeah, we're trying to hack out all the details now, so we're hoping that'll come to fruition. But we'll give you more details as they become available.
And speaking of details, where can people find us?
Oh, give the details. We have one more in our series.
Oh, go ahead.
Aside from Ginger
go
Snaps
ahead.
And that, we have Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Oh yeah,
which was the second in the Wolfman series, technically, yeah. So of the second Wolfman.
Thought we were doing Abbott and Costello Meet the Wolfman.
No.
Okay. No.
I looked at that one. That was not the second one.
Is that the second one? What's the second one of that?
I don't remember, but it's not that
sure.
one. Because I thought, well, hey, we'd get Abbott and Costello in there, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
But if you want to listen to all these great,
no, wait, podcasts, what about the other one that we're doing?
Which one?
I just wanted to interrupt you before you gave the information out. Go ahead. You can do it now. Go ahead.
Is this what the where Everett, Tom Everett Scott turns you into?
Yes. It turns me into a douchebag.
So you can find us at the Deuce Podcast.
If you want to.
The Deuce Podcast at podbean.com.
Do that thing you do, I guess.
You keep
that's like the
only
one, that's the only Tom Everett Scott movie I know.
American Werewolf in Paris.
Emma Stone ended up with me in La La Land. Spoiler.
Oh.
Go ahead.
He saved jazz. The you can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, or just go to our Facebook page and you can find. We'll post it there. Also, if you go to our Facebook page, the great deal is you can find all sorts of other podcasts from some of our friends of our podcast. They will post them there as well. Plus, we like to put up fun posts are you turning again?
No, I just really had a hangnail. Sorry.
Our surveys and things like that. So definitely check us out, and we thank you for your patronage.
We do, and remember, the sequel is king.
My heart drained.